This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 11 من شهر جمادى الأولى 1444 الموافق ل 6 من شهر ديسمبر 2022، واصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا زلات، ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today, inshallah, we move on to a new chapter, which is about أمرو ولاة الأمور بالرفق برعايتهم ونصيحتهم والشفقة عليهم والنهي عن غشهم والتشديد عليهم وإهمال مصالحهم والغفلة عنهم ومن حوائجهم. So this is a very important topic that deals with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sharia for the Wulat al-Umur. Wulat al-Umur, these are the people in the authority, leaders, at whatever position and level they are. So there is a command by the Sharia for them to be lenient and gentle when dealing with the subordinates, and also to always give them nasiha, meaning to guide them towards that which will lead them to success. So leniency is required. This topic will be dealing with this command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them to be lenient, soft and gentle, and also the prohibition from the Sharia, you know, of cheating in terms of their leadership, handling their responsibility. And we will hear a lot of heavy hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which will let everyone understand the size of their responsibility. And then inshallah, after listening to these hadith, nothing left except to make dua for those who are in the authority for them to succeed in their leadership. Because that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for them to do is really heavy. And the responsibility and the accountability on the day of judgment when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is heavier than what you can ever imagine. So this is a clear warning. The topic we'll talk about, the warning from the Sharia for being negligent in handling the responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put on the shoulder of the leadership. And also to have a person who is a leader, but unfortunately he is not at the position where he settles and he eases the affairs of those people who are under his custody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be soft and gentle to anyone who follows him amongst the believers. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanded, no matter how much big is your authority, no matter how much big is your position, you will never reach the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to be lenient, to be gentle, to be soft when dealing with the subordinate. Allah says in another place, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands people to enjoy good and justice. You know, Allah is commanded us to always practice justice and injustice to everyone. Yeah, this universal justice exists in Islam, and you can find it in any other place. So Allah commands us to be just. So this is to the leaders and the authority and whoever is handling a responsibility of the believer in any Muslim communities. Wal ihsan, and also perfection when it comes to the ibadat and any other responsibility that is level on the shoulder of everyone in the community, whether he is a ra'is or mar'us. وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِيِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands everyone to engage in supporting their relatives financially, emotionally, you know, even by just a visit, to give them comfort, to listen to their issues, and to try to strive as much as you can to settle their affairs whenever they need you. وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِيِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking everyone to stay away from anything that is considered as al-fahsha. Al-fahsha is a word which is too general. It includes all types of sins and doing those things which are inappropriate in the community. Things which are culturally, you know, inappropriate, a person is supposed to stay away from it, because naturally also we are like that. We are naturally created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a being who is always trying to stay away from issues which are inappropriate. But sometimes some of us, they lack this. That's why we need the Sharia to come and revive it one more time. Many people on earth, they stay away from inappropriate things, not because somebody asked them to do, but because they just believe that this is wrong for a person to do. And somebody asked Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu about drinking wine. He said, no, I did not drink wine in my life. Why? He said, because it goes with the aql. You know, he's acting upon his nature. He said, it goes with the aql. You know? Somebody took him to an idol, you know, and then he went to the idol the second day. And then he asked the idol, if I'm hungry, are you going to be able to support me? Of course, no answer. He asked him certain questions where there is no answer given to him. He said, and you expect me tomorrow to come and ask you for something? You know? SubhanAllah, he wasn't going to worship, but just to confirm something which he believes in it. Because how is it possible that you are the one who created something? I mean, you're the one who make it, modify it from a stick to something else, and then now you are begging this object, you know, to support you. And you are the one who made it at the first place. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ فَدْعُوهُمْ فَلِسْتَجِيبُوا لَكُمْ. He says in another place, in another narration, you know, إِنِ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. He says, those ones, they are not even ibad like you, meaning they are lower than you in terms of position. And how is it possible for one of you to go and worship somebody who is lower than him in terms of position? The one who deserves to be worshipped has to be the most high, the highest, the greatest, the best, and that's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. And anything that is rejected in Islam. Munkar means whatsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejected it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking every Muslim to avoid it and to stay away from it. وَالْبَغِي. And injustice in all of its forms. يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. So this is the nasiha from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the people will be reflecting upon it until they meet him on the day of judgment. قال النووي رحمه الله وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته الإمام راع ومسؤول عن رعيته والرجل راع في أهله ومسؤول عن رعيته والمرأة راعية في بيت زوجها ومسؤولة عن رعيتها والخادم راع في مال سيده ومسؤول عن رعيته وكلكم راع ومسؤول عن رعيته. This is a very important hadith that did not neglect anyone. The Prophet ﷺ talks about accountability, especially that on the Day of Judgment. He said, every one of you is a shepherd. And being a shepherd needs careful attention. Because according to the history and the facts that we see up to date, that if you are a shepherd, you have to be gentle, you have to be lenient, and you have to be always attentive. And he called a story they narrated about somebody who neglected the sheep for a few seconds or a few minutes. He lost 400 sheep in those 4 minutes that he was sleeping. Just negligence of a few seconds caused him to lose a lot. Giving tarbiyah to the sheep is not easy. It requires from a person to be very attentive. Maybe, wallahu alam, that might be one of the reasons why all of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to go through this process first before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned them as a prophet. Or they, when they are a prophet, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned them this responsibility by his decree. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with his companions, yajununa min shajari an-naba. They were taken from some of the fruits in the forest. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, he said, alaykum bil aswad minhu. They were in the forest and they were taking from some fruit in the forest. So he told them, if you want the best one, take the black one. فَإِنَّهُ أَطْيَبُ. Said, this is the best one. So they were surprised because they thought that Rasulullah is just a city boy who doesn't know anything except that which he sees on TV. Most of the people who live in the city, many animals and things, they don't see them except on the TV. They thought the Prophet lived in the city. He doesn't know the life in the villages. Forgetting that he used to be in Bani Sa'idah. Was in Mecca, they took him to that village to be breastfed by those sisters who the Prophet went to. So when he told them this, they said, Ya Rasulullah, akunta tar al ghanam? Were you a shepherd before? He said, yes. وَهَلْ مِن نَبِيٍ إِلَّا وَقَدْ رَعَاهَا. Was there any prophet that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without letting him be a shepherd before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him? Or while he was a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let him become a shepherd? Because you need this patience. You need a very big and huge amount of patience to be able to control the sheep. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الشَّرَّ الرِّعَاءِ الْحُطَمَةِ. The worst type of shepherd, they are the hutama. Who is the hutama? The person who is not patient. One sheep goes in this direction, smack it. It dies. Another one also will go. These are sheep, you know. You don't expect them to have the aql of the human beings. The next one also will go. He smacked this one. Before the end of the day, no sheep remains. They're gone. The Prophet is referring to the leadership, the real leadership, not about the shepherd, but he is referring to the leaders, those people who are very harsh in the way the community cannot live unease. There are places, subhanAllah, everyone is like a person who is placed on al-jamr. Nobody can speak, nobody can talk, you know. If somebody passed who is a leader, you have to lower your voice, you know. That wasn't in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Respect is there. We're supposed to respect our leaders, and you're supposed to respect them and give them nasiha. But at the same time, leaders are not supposed to make people be afraid of them. Whenever they exist, people will become so panicking. That's very wrong approach. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is referring to when he says, in the sharra ri'ai al-hutama. So the Prophet ﷺ said here, kullukum ra'in, each and every one of you is acting like a shepherd. Wa mas'oolun an ra'iyatihi. And Allah is going to question him about the subordinate. And you, Allah, if we understand this correctly, people will be running away from this responsibility like the way the predecessors used to run away from it. Because whenever you imagine yourself being present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're receiving those heavy questions about how did you manage the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how did you manage their affairs? Nobody will agree to go through this process before he reaches his paradise. That's why most, if not all of those whom we know about amongst the leadership, they used to be so sad when death approached them. Umar used to say, I wish I never handled a responsibility of anyone. And you know who was Umar? Yani? He established justice in his leadership. People used to come to Medina to see who is Umar because of the justice they see, which is so overwhelming. It reached everyone wherever they are. So the Prophet ﷺ talks about these responsibilities, and Allah is going to question you and hold you responsible. Whatever he assigned on his shoulder, he started with the biggest one. He said, Ali Imam. He's talking about the king, the president, the prime minister, ministers, all of those people who are part of the authority and they're supposed to be managing the affairs of the believers at the higher level. He says each and every one of them is a shepherd, and Allah is going to ask him about this responsibility that he put on his shoulder. So put yourself in their shoes and you will understand that yes, definitely they need our dua. You Allah, you lead 2 or 3 people, you're going to be questioned about them. Your children at home, Allah will ask you about them. And how many are they? 5, 6, 7, let's say they're 100, only 100 people. But this person is handling the affairs of 1 million, 2 million, you know. In some countries, we're talking about 1 point something billion. each and every one of them, Allah is going to call you back on the Day of Judgment and ask you about the way you used to handle their affairs. That's why I said listening to this hadith is very important for us. Why? Because you will intensify the amount of your dua to the leadership so that they could be protected and they lead in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. قال كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته الإمام راع ومسؤول عن رعيته والرجل راع في أهل بيته ومسؤول عن رعيته. So the one who is going to be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about his responsibility is not the leaders alone. You also in your house, as a husband, as a father, Allah is going to ask you about those who are under your custody. Therefore, you have to really understand this properly and do the best job. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're going to see a hadith, he says, if you cheat in your responsibility, Jannah is going to be impermissible for you. If you cheat in the responsibility, Jannah is going to be impermissible for you. So you as a husband, as a father, you are also acting as a shepherd. And this is quite interesting to describe him as a shepherd because you need to be awake all the time. And subhanAllah, your kids, for those of you who have kids, you will understand what I'm talking about. Those defenseless children, they need somebody to be attentive and aware every single moment for them to be guided. If you sleep, you will find them going astray. Describing you as a shepherd needs what? Attentiveness, consciousness, all the time, continuously. You don't sleep in your responsibility. I don't mean literally you don't sleep, but I mean every single time you are vigilant, monitoring what exactly they are doing until the time they grow older in the way they can handle their affairs by themselves, then the responsibility on your shoulder could be relieved. وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَعِيَةٌ فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا وَمَسْئُولَةٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهَا. And the same goes to the wife, the same goes to the woman. She's also acting as a shepherd in the house of her husband. And Allah will ask her about the kind of tarbiyah she gave to the children. So therefore, these days we have to make a balance, you know. You have to measure, you have to weigh, you know, the benefits and the harms. Rather than neglecting your responsibility and passing it to the maid in the house, you should understand that Allah is not going to ask the maid. He will ask you. I was listening to a case in subhanAllah. The children are misbehaving and they went to one of the scholars to ask him for consultation, you know. Both arrived, the maid and the mother. It's so unfortunate when the sheikh was asking, who is the mother? The kids, they turned to the maid more than the real mother. And who is the mother? She said, I'm the one. So can you talk about them? She said, I don't know. Who will explain? The maid. SubhanAllah. And on the Day of Judgment, who is going to be questioned? And how many children went astray because of those people who are in the house? Yeah, because this maid, usually she comes looking for how to survive, looking for survival. She's not here for tarbiyah purposes. She has her own need. So I'm transferring my responsibility to her. And nobody will love my children more than me. And nowadays it all changes. We favor our job more than our children. That's why at the end of the day, we are paying what? The price. When you grow older, you find your children not having that mercy towards you. Otherwise, if we maintain the old life, subhanAllah, the child has been with his mother from day one. There was no time, you know, when you find the child being separated from his mother. That connection is there, you know. When he grows older, no matter how much tough is his job, he will never forget his mother. There will be nobody like her to him. It is not an option for him to take her to the old age home. But nowadays we have people who will take their parents, you know. Just imagine with me this. This is your father, this is your mother, and you are taking them to the old age home. This is absolutely unacceptable Islamically. If a person is doing it because he has no time for them. This is your father, this is your mother. But I'm saying sometimes also we are the one who contributed to this, alhamdulillah. Sometimes we contributed to this. That kind of strong relationship that Allah SWT wants it to be maintained between the father and the son, the mother and the son and the daughter, you know, we don't have it nowadays that much. We're taking care of our children as part-timers. Those full-time mothers don't exist that much in these days. We are chasing, behind health and the dunya. We neglected the heavy responsibility Allah SWT put on our shoulder. A brother should remember this and a father should remember this. Wallahi, this is the major responsibility that Allah SWT put on our shoulder, and you will be questioned about that. You can survive, with hunger, but you can't survive those heavy questions when Allah SWT asks you on the day of judgment. So let's make the balance. I'm not saying it's wrong for us to work, but let's understand our responsibility and do it properly. One can go and do the job and provide for the family, the others can do the other job for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So a woman also is responsible, and Allah is going to ask her about what is going on in the house, which is under her responsibility. And also a maid in the house, a servant in the house, he is also acting as a shepherd, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask him about the wealth of his master. How did he manage it when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's why the Prophet said, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi." Because either you are a leader, you are a president, or you are not the president, you are not a minister, you are not the governor, but at the same time, you have a family. You are the leader in your family. You're also acting as a president to that family in that, specific locality, which is your house. And Allah is going to ask you about each and every one of them. And therefore, you should be prepared. How to prepare for that? Try to identify from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is your job towards your family? And do that, and inshallah, you will never regret it. Ya'la, Abu Ya'la, Maqil ibn Yasar, radiallahu anhu, said, Samitu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yaqul, ma min abdin yastari'ihi Allahu ra'iyatan yamutu yawma yamutu wa huwa ghashun li ra'iyatih illa harramallahu alayhi jannah. Abu Ya'la, Maqil ibn Yasar, said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I said, there will be nobody amongst the leaders and the authorities. And last time when we talked, in the previous hadith, we talk about leadership not to be restricted to the people in the high authority. Even the person in the house, the woman in the house, the maid in the house also is a leader within that small locality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be nobody who will be given a responsibility by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it's a country, is a village, is a house, is a job, is a school, is a university, whatever responsibility Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. قَالَ يَمُوتُ يَوْمَ يَمُوتُ وَهُوَ غَاشٌ لِرَأْيَتِهِ إِلَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. If you let yourself dying, to live this life as a cheater in that responsibility, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make Jannah prohibited upon him. وَلِيَذْ بِاللَّهِ. What do you want in this life? To die and go to Jannah. Because this life is temporary. What are you doing here? All of our struggle should be based on aiming, to that real purpose of life, to have the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and go to Jannah. But this person, before he dies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making Jannah prohibited upon him. You get it? That's why I said, if you listen to this hadith, then you will stop cursing. You will engage in making dua. And you, wallahi, this is what we need, Although some people will say, yeah, why do you support, you're doing this? No, this is the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They need from us dua. And what do you benefit to see that person being cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If he is salih, who will benefit from his salah? If he is righteous, the leader. If the leader is righteous, who will be benefiting from the righteousness? Everyone in the community. Everyone in the community. That's why one of the scholars said, if I know that my dua is going to be accepted by Allah, if Allah is to give me one chance to make dua, which is 100% accepted, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed me, if I know from anywhere that this dua of mine is going to be accepted, he said, I will not make dua for anything except for the leader to be good. Because wallahi, if the leaders are good, everyone is going to enjoy it. So that's the reason why I said you don't benefit anything. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him a righteous person. You will enjoy life. Your family will enjoy life. The community will enjoy life. Everyone is going to enjoy. So your dua is making a change in the community. But if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to curse, and you ask Allah to do this, this and that, what do you benefit? If he gets corrupt, if Allah curses him, he's going to be more corrupt. And who will be in trouble? You will be in trouble, and the community also will be in trouble. So that's why I said listening to these ahadith is very important, so that we will intensify our dua to those people who are in the authority, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hold upon their hands to that which is pleasing to him. وفي رواية فلم يحطها بنصحه لم يرى أو لم يجد رائحة الجنة. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put on your shoulder, you know, a responsibility, but unfortunately you do not bring good to the community, you don't advise them, you don't guide them to that which is leading them to success, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make Jannah prohibited upon you. Not only that, even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this person will not smell paradise. You know, in some narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you can smell the fragrance of Jannah if you are 40 years, you know, away from Jahannam. 40 years before you reach Jahannam, you can smell the fragrance. Imagine this person, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even to smell paradise, he will not do. So Allah salam alafia. So we really need to be very careful. Identify your responsibility and your job in that responsibility, and just get busy with it. And inshallah, you will never regret. وفي رواية لمسلم ما من أمير يري أمور المسلمين ثم لا يجهد لهم وينصح لهم إلا لم يدخل معهم الجنة. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anyone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned a responsibility on his shoulder, but unfortunately he did not make all the efforts to make sure that he benefits the community and bring maslaha to the community, and also guide them to that which is maslaha for them, إِلَّا لَمْ يَدْخُلُ مَعَهُمْ لَمْ يَدْخُلْ مَعَهُمْ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let him go to paradise together with them. So as I said, my dear brothers and sisters, these nusus, they're really worth our attention, you know, and whatever responsibility Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you, whether it is the leadership of a country or your house or whatever, you must make sure that you identify your responsibility and you carry it in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want it to be carried. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كانت بنو إسرائيل تسوسهم الأنبياء كلما هلك نبي خلفه نبي والله وإنه لا نبي بعدي وسيكون بعدي خلفاء فيكثرون. قالوا يا رسول الله فما تأمرنا؟ قال أوفوا ببيعة الأول فالأول ثم أعطوهم حقهم وسألوا الله الذي لكم فإن الله سائلهم أما السراه. سبحان الله. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, كانت بنو إسرائيل تسوسهم الأنبياء. بنو إسرائيل, these are the children of Israel. Who is Israel? Yaqub alayhi salam. His children, these are the Christian and the Jews. These are the Bani Israel, Jews and the Christians. They used to be led by who? By their prophets. You know, their prophets, at the same time also, they are the leaders. They used to be led by their prophets. كُلَّمَا هَلَكَ نَبِيٌّ خَلَفَهُ أَخْرٌ. Whenever a prophet is gone, another one will come and replace him. وَإِنَّهُ لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should know that there will be no prophet after me. In Islam, which is against the Ilhad and the Mulhideen, Nubuwwah comes before the message. Nubuwwah comes before the Risalah. A person has to become a Nabi first before he will be, moved to Rasul. That's the reason why Quran was very accurate when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the seal of the prophets. Because if you close the prophecy, there is no way for a Rasul to come. Because you cannot be a Rasul without being a Nabi. If I say there will be no Nabi, that means automatically there will be no Rasul. And so we have to be very careful. Nowadays, I was listening to somebody, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide him. And they have a lot of followers nowadays. That's why not everything you go online and watch, wallahi, sometimes you'll be confronted by a fitna which is part of the Dajjal. And it's so attractive, you might get lost. This person is targeting especially the youth. Has so many things which are against Islam and against also any aql actually. And they still call themselves Muslims, because if they remove the title of Islam on them, then nobody amongst the Muslims will be listening to them except a few. They're taking from the attitude of the non-believers, bringing it to our community. One of their statements is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wa khatam al-nabiyyin." He did not say, "Wa khatam al-mursaleen." So that's why they will tell you, Rusul, they still exist until the day of judgment, including yourself also, you are Rasul sometimes to yourself. All that you have to do, just sit down and think, and then somebody will come and talk to you and tell you are a Rasul. I mean, just quoting him, you know. And subhanAllah, they have followers. Because when you go into the media, you know, without having the proper guidance, trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, you might be misguided. You might be lost. You have to know exactly what you're looking for and focus on those which are beneficial and trusted also at the same time. So that person is very ignorant of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in Islam, which one comes first? Nubuwa comes first. You have to become a Nabi for you to become a Rasul. That's why even all of those false prophets, you know, most of them didn't claim to be Rasul. They said, "We are Anbiya." You know, they said, "We are Anbiya." They will tell you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closed the Nubuwa wa Khatim al-Nabiyyin, but he did not close the Risala. And some of them, when he does that, he says they are Anbiya after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they have also nusus to establish that. Waliyadu billah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Wala nabiyya ba'di," there will be no prophet after me. If there will be no prophet after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then obviously there is no way for you to have a Rasul. Because you have to become a Nabi for you to become a Rasul. So if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the seals of the Prophet, that means there will be no Rasul after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So with this ayah, both are closed, Nubuwa and Risala. You will never have a Nabi and you will never have a Rasul until the day of judgment. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final Prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to humankind. So he said, "La nabiyya ba'di," there will be no Prophet after me. And then he said, "وَسَيَكُونُ بَعْدِي خُلَفَاءَ فَيَكْثُرُونَ," and after me there's going to be a lot of khulafa, فَيَكْثُرُونَ, and there will be a lot. Meaning, you give the bay'ah to this khalifa, to this leader, somebody will come and appoint himself, or a group of people also will appoint him to become a leader. So we have how many leaders? 2 or 3 of them in a community. So they said, "Ya Rasulullah, what would you command us to do if that happens while we're still alive?" He said, "A'tu bay'at al-awwal fal-awwal." You should give your allegiance to the first one. In another place, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you're under one leadership and somebody comes to divide you, taking also responsibility, appointing himself as a leader, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fight the second one, whoever this person might be." Unity has to exist. Even in animals, you know, some of them don't accept to be led by 2 people. Naturally, human beings will never accept. Even animals also, they don't accept to be led by 2 people. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Give the bay'ah to the first one, and then the one who came after him, أعطوهم حقهم وسلوا الله عز وجل الذي لكم." He says, always give the leaders their right and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take your right from them. You should give them their right. And this is very good also to be, distributed to the people. People should know this, because you have some people who will tell you, "No, he is not doing what he's supposed to be doing, and as such, I'm not going to obey." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No, you do your responsibility. Give him his right and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to extract your right from him." فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَائِلُهُمْ عَمَّا سَرَعَهُمْ. Because Allah will ask them about that responsibility which he put on their shoulder. Very good system. You give your right, I mean, you do your responsibility, you do your job, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take your right from them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the truth and fix all of our affairs. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide our authority and the leaders to do that which is right. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kathir. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, this is a very good question. But if you refer to the last hadith we talk about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to focus on your responsibility. What is your responsibility towards them? According to the Sharia, you focus on that one, and then you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you and to take you right from them. We are not there to judge their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will judge them based on that. How much they worship Allah, how much they pray, how much they fast, how much they do sadaqah, this is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their job is to lead the ummah to success, and also to apply justice, and also to be umana, and also to protect the religion of the community, and to let you practice your religion in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. Your job is to identify your responsibility towards them, giving them nasiha billati hiya ahsan in secret, and also at the same time to make dua for them constantly, every time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them, to fix their affairs, and to help them in their responsibility. You know, and to support them, to cooperate with them to bring success to the community. Because a leader, no matter how much strong he is, trust me, he cannot do things alone. We have to cooperate. If you don't cooperate, he cannot bring success to everyone by force. He needs our cooperation. So our responsibility is to make sure that we are making dua for them. We help them, we support them. And if we see anything wrong, we go to them, visit them, talk to them in secret, advise them, tell them what they are supposed to be doing. And inshallah, they will listen. In case they don't understand what you're talking about, you have already done your responsibility. The rest is Allah's job. But we are not supposed to say that we obey them because they pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sunan and the nawafil. We are obeying them because they are fasting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every sunnah. We are obeying them because they are giving charity. No, we don't do that. This is not my responsibility. It's not yours. This is Allah's responsibility and their relationship between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as I said, according to the last hadith we have mentioned, my job is to identify my responsibility towards my leaders and get busy with that. There are going to be rights which might be neglected, you know, according to the way you said. Always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take your right from them, but you should give them their right. Allah will question you about their right. You know, Allah will not tell you, give them the right if they're giving you yours. It doesn't work like this. It is not that you are giving them the right because they're giving you yours. No, Allah is asking you to do this and you have to do it. Whether they are doing or they're not doing, that's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And them also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking them to do the correct thing, whether the subordinate is doing or not doing. So each and every one of us is going to be responsible and held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment separately. Allah grant us tawfiq. And these are all of our affairs. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.